Let's get excited. Let's stir our faith. God is in the house today. It's so good to see everybody this morning. Thank you for braving our first major snowfall of the year. And we'll get you out hopefully in time to make it home to not get snowed in. But guys, today is going to be a great day. Today is your day, amen. Today is the day that the Lord has made, so we can rejoice, we can be glad in it, and we can put our faith towards God and receive something from Him this morning. He is present, He is ready, He is available, and He is waiting. And then let us reach out to Him, seek Him, come towards Him, and receive what He has for us today. Amen? Amen. So we're going to worship Him today, and we're going to be thankful to Him today. He is good, and He is faithful, and He is worthy of every breath of praise that we can pour out towards our God. All right, so we're going to have a great service today, and thank you guys for being here.
Down, down, down. the enemy went for evil, and you turned it for good. You turned it for good. Sing, you take. You take what the enemy went for evil, and you turn it for good.
Thank you.
You fall for all you brought me through.
Welcoming him as a guest that we occasionally visit with, or as a dear friend, rejoicing at every moment we can spend with him.
Show us your glory, show us your glory, wonder and surrender we fall down. Show us your glory.
Come on, today's your day. And lives are healed and hope is found right here, right now, because Jesus, you change everything. Chains, they fall. Fear, it bows right now, right here, right now. And Jesus, you change everything.
Thank you for your glory that you're in this house with us today. Amen. Father, we just thank you, God, for your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit moving in and out and through us. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you're going to continue to do, God. We give you praise today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good to see everybody today. Hey, I got a couple of announcements real quick. First of all, wanted to make sure that you were aware that your giving statements are, they are here. They're in the building. Come see Philip or Linda before you leave today, and they will hand you yours. So you get a hard copy. If you don't get them today, Sorry about your luck. You're going to have to deal with the IRS now. They will be mailed out to you if you don't pick them up today. So, again, if you would like your giving statement, please see Philip or Linda. And if not today, then they will be mailed out to you, okay? So that's an important order of business. Okay, got that done. And also we have our marriage seminar conference coming up February the 11th. Oh, there you go, right there. Love. The ooey gooey, mushy gushy boy girl kind, as I talk to the kids about in children's church, the love kind. Your marriage, Friday, February 11th at 6 to 9 p.m. That is down at Botkins, correct?
Yep, and child care is
provided. Yeah, okay, so not here. Yeah, I know in years past we've simulcast here at this location, but we'd ask everybody to join us together, like an all campus thing, at the Botkins Church, and child care will be provided. So that's always a good thing. It'll be a nice little date night. And again, as Philip has been describing this, this is not just for married people only, like maybe married people who are having trouble. This is if you're doing good. This is if you're doing okay. This is if you're a little on the rocks. This is if you're single and you want to prepare yourself to get married and to be ready, right, when the time comes, so you can be just ready to rock whenever that love of your life shows up before you. So please make plans to join us and attend that with us. We look forward to having everybody there. And for right now, that is the announcements that I have. So let's get ready to do tithe and offering. But before I do that, children, you guys are dismissed to go to your class. You will have the amazing Miss Amber with you today. And that our children's church is 18 months up to fifth grade. So, and teens, I'm sorry, yeah, the teenagers, man, the herd has thinned a little bit. But all you amazing looking adults are stuck with me the rest of the service. So if you have something to give, get it out, get it ready to give, get your faith ready. When we sow a seed, God is faithful, right? When we give to the kingdom of God, we do some things with our giving, okay? Does God actually, like, need your money? No, I think God's doing all right. His bank account is full. He has, oops, I'm sorry, fail. The Lord's texting me saying, hey, what'd I tell you? No. Okay, I think I got it all done. Let me make sure. Don't you love? Okay, there we go. All right. No more interruptions. I apologize about that. Okay, so where was I? Oh, does God need our money? No. And, you know, like, he's not, like, hurting in any way, shape, or form, okay? We know heaven is beyond what we can see or think of, okay? It's streets of gold. It's everything amazing, okay? So God is not necessarily, he's not broke. He's not desperate for our money, but okay, God wants to use us to build his kingdom, to grow it, to expand it, to keep his church strong, okay, and beautiful, and meeting the needs of the church and of the people around us. Okay, so we get an opportunity to be used by God when we give to him. Okay, it accomplishes many things. It is an act of worship, just like worshiping, like we just got done doing, like reading the word, like praying. Giving is an act of worship. It's an act of surrender. God, I trust you more than I trust myself. Okay, you're smarter and wiser than me. You can handle my finances better than I can my own self because you're God. And you have a great plan because God wants to do something for you. He wants to bring provision to your life. He wants to bring blessing. He wants to open up the windows of heaven and pour it out upon you. He wants to do above what you can ask or think. Okay, but we have to do our part and open up our hands and first open up our hearts and say, God, I trust you. God, I surrender to you. God, I'm coming into covenant with you, and I'm honoring you first. I'm giving to you first. I'm giving my tithe. I'm giving my offering, and I'm putting my faith towards you, my Heavenly Father, to make provision in my life, to do things beyond what I could think and what I can ask, and to make provision in better ways than what I could. Okay, so we know that in Galatians, I need to put a scripture with this. I can find it. Galatians 6. It is here. I'll get there. Okay, Galatians 6, 9. No, sorry. 6, 7. says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Okay? And on down there to 9, it says, "And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Okay, God's faithful. He gives us promises. I mean, there's many scriptures that we can stand on when we're believing God for finances, for breakthrough, for provision. Okay? God's not short of supply. He is not lacking. Okay? He's got more than enough to take care of each and every one of us in here and everyone in this entire world because he's God. Okay, and so just in like small things. Okay, Linda and I have been talking for a while now about a Ring doorbell, right? Okay, who in here has a Ring doorbell? It's okay, I'm not going to come to your house and like make funny faces in it and stuff like that. But, okay, if you guys know what those are, it's like, you know, it's attached like to your phone. It's like a camera that's in it. You can see if someone's coming to your door, see if someone's dropping off a package, make sure nobody's trying to mess with you or anything like that. And so we've been interested in getting one of those, and we've talked about it, but we really haven't spent the money on it or whatnot yet, but it's something that's been in our heart. And just randomly, just a few days ago, someone texted us with a picture of like a brand new Ring doorbell, never been out of the box, said, "Hey, would you guys be interested in this?" I'm like, "Well, does it work? And like, how much do you want for it?" And they're like, "Well, yeah, it works. It's never been out of the box, and no, I don't want anything for it. You can just have it if you want it." So you know what? God pays attention. God sees and hears the thoughts and the desires of your heart, okay? And sometimes we can get impatient and get out ahead of God, put the cart in front of the horse, if you will, okay? But so we need to not grow weary in well-doing, and we're going to see God be faithful, amen? So I just want to encourage you guys this morning that as you give, okay, that God has provision for us. And so if we can bring the buckets up here, we're going to go ahead and we're going to pray. And we're going to thank God for what he's going to do in each and every one of our lives. So Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you so much, God, for your goodness, for your faithfulness. God, that you are not short on supply of provision for each one of us. God, wherever we're at, whatever needs we have, whatever desires, God, we have, we just give them to you. We trust you. We honor you, and we get to build your kingdom. We get to grow your church, God. We get to partner with you to do great things for the kingdom of God and to receive your blessing and provision in our lives as we give today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Stand on your feet. Bring your tithe and offering to the front. Amen. All right. Well, hey, it's time to get into the Word, and I get the honor, the privilege, and the joy of sharing the Word with you guys this morning. So it's always a great honor, great privilege to be here in the pulpit, and we thank God for our pastors and what they've done and what they've meant to us and how they honor God and how we can follow after their example. And so before we go on any further, we know that pastors are enjoying a much-needed rest, vacation, as we are. This always happens, I promise you, like every year. They go to Aruba every year, like 2 or 3 weeks or whatnot. And every time they leave, you can guarantee it. Like, you can bet the farm on it. Don't actually bet, but you know what I'm saying. That it's going to snow. That it's going to get cold, and it's going to snow. Like, every single time it happens. So they're sitting somewhere, probably by a pool or on a beach, and we're enjoying the beauty of snow. And some of you may feel like, yeah, great, that's awesome. Some of you are like, not so much, okay? But so we are thankful for them. So I'd like to take just a quick moment here, and we lift up our pastors up in prayer and that they get what they need while they're away and be ready to lead us well when they come back, all right? So Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you so much, God, for Pastors Phil and Regina, God, for what they've meant to us, for how you've used them. Lord, I pray your blessing to be upon them, God. Give them rest. Give them peace, God, strength, God, just fill them up to overflowing, Lord. Lord God, meet every need. God, thank you. You have provision for them. God, as they're resting, God, enjoying some time away, and I just thank you for keeping them safe. God, I'm bringing them back to us ready to go after you and your kingdom this year and to do great things. We ask this in Jesus' name. All God's children said, amen. I got to do that to you guys at least once. Okay, that's the, I guess, children's pastor and me coming out. But today, guys, I have good news for you. Anybody say good news? Who in here likes to get good news? Amen. Now, I know, like, if you watch the actual news, there's probably not a whole lot of good news that you're seeing or that you're consuming each and every day. So I got something that's better than what you're going to find on CNN, MSNBC, Fox, even if you like Newsmax or the Victory Channel, wherever you get your news. Today is great news for us to receive from God, okay? And so the title of my message is simply From Scarlet to White. And so far, God has already been moving right along these lines. I did not tell Linda one bit about what I was teaching on today, what I was preaching on, what God had put in my heart. And so we've already been touching on some of this stuff in worship. So I believe this is what God has for you today. There is somebody in here today, under the sound of my voice, in this church or watching via live stream, if we're on that, that needs to hear what I'm about to share with you guys today. It needs to grab a hold of it, okay? It needs to run with it, okay? And in each one of us, I'm sure, in some way, some shape, some form, some place in our heart, we're going to need to receive what God has for you today. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Isaiah. And that's in the Old Testament, and we're going to go to chapter 1. And this is a verse that many of you probably have heard once or twice before. Maybe some of you haven't heard it at all, but this is not just good news, but it's great news. It's breaking news. It's world-changing news, life-changing news for you all, for all of us, if we grab hold of it. So Isaiah 1, 18 says this, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." I'm going to read that one more time. "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Amen. Now, I want you guys to think for a second, okay? You know, if you are here and you are a Christian, at some point in time, you came to a point of realizing your need for Jesus as your Savior, right? You come to the point where you accepted Christ, where you believed in your heart, you confessed with your mouth, and you repented of sin, right? And in that moment, you felt freer than what you'd ever felt. You felt this peace, like you could begin to let go of many things that were weighing you down, many burdens that you were carrying, and especially guilt and condemnation and regret of what you may have done in the past. Well, guys, that is still in effect today, okay? Even if you have been serving the Lord for a long time and you stumble and fall and something gets messed up, and maybe it's messed up really bad or maybe it's not, okay, but either way, the good news is that that same blood of Jesus that washed you from scarlet to white as snow back then will do that for you today. Okay, and so many years ago now, we had like a major flood in our house. I think it was 2014, there was that polar vortex that came in. It was like sub-zero for like a week straight. Our heater went out. Our pipes burst in 5 different places whenever it thawed out. So like we come home to like the attack of the water. It was like going everywhere on the first floor and the basement, even up to the second floor. I mean, pipes were just like, it was on the inside of our house too. That's how cold it was. Our fish tank was frozen. The fish were like like somebody hit them with a freeze ray, you know? I mean, it was like crazy. And so we had to call out a company, you know, like through the insurance and everything, to get that cleaned up, to do like the water cleanup, to do the restoration, mold remediation. And so there's a company called ServPro, and they came out and they spent several weeks, it was like 3 weeks, 28 blowers, 3 commercial grade dehumidifiers that were going like around the clock. My house on like a wind tunnel. You know, I mean, it was a crazy time. We ended up having to like stay in a hotel for 9 weeks while they fixed everything back up. But anyway, the company ServPro has a slogan, if you will, that I think is fantastic. And it's simply this: like it never even happened. All right, and they come in, they clean things up. They're a restoration company. They make it like it never even happened. Okay, well, our God is much greater than ServPro. Okay, when we reach out to him and confess our sins, our failures, and our shortcomings, God will touch us. And God will take things and make it like it never even happened. He remembers it no more. Amen. So, with that, how many here has ever, is like a do-it-yourself kind of person, they paint maybe their house, like rooms or something like that? I know Logan over there is getting ready to start a DIY channel and everything. He's working on his house and stuff like that. But I know like Steve is painting his house and everything. When you paint, okay, there's certain steps you got to take, right? I remember years ago, back when, my goodness, this has been a long time ago now, I'm dating myself, like 2003, when Lynn and I got married and got our first house, the trend at the time was a room that was painted red. Did anybody ever have a red room? Just us? Okay, all right. Well, there was lots of people at the time, we were looking at different houses that had a room that was painted red. So we were going to be awesome, and we were going to paint our living room red. Okay, so our first house, our first project in there was to clear off like the 5-6 layers of wallpaper, you know, because it hadn't been updated since like the 70s. We had like mint green cabinets. It was really cool. But so we were going to paint this thing red, and we were at the Home Depot, and the lady was like, "Oh, you're going to paint red, huh?" I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "Well, let me give you a tip here. If you want true color, like you need to use gray primer." I'm like, "Really? Why?" She's like, "Because if you start trying to paint over white with red, it's going to continually bleed through." Now, the same is true for the reverse process. Now, we sold the house before we got tired of the red living room, didn't have to paint over it. But if you're painting over a color like that, if you don't follow the right steps, that red is actually made with more pigments and everything, so that color holds more and it continues to bleed through. So you're supposed to get Kills or, you know, Zinsser, like a special type of like primer that'll seal stuff off. And you're supposed to actually kind of get a primer that's closer to the color that you're going to paint it and everything. Because if you don't, it's going to continue to show through. Now, sometimes, you know, if we have sinned or if we have come short of God's glory, which in Romans 3:23, everybody has, okay? We have things that we're doing. And, you know, there are times when if we mess up, we kind of try to fix things up real quick, right? We kind of try to cover things over. Maybe we're guilty, we're ashamed, we don't want to go to God. You know, we're just like, man, it's too many times I've done this, okay? And so you're going to continue to go along, maybe try to fix it up, try to brush it off to your side yourself, but just like trying to cover over red, you know, your sins are like scarlet. You try to just paint it over yourself, it's going to keep coming back, isn't it? It's going to keep bleeding through. Until you go through the right process and do it the right way, you're going to continue to have that same problem, okay? And so I've seen some people who's attempted to paint over red or a dark color, and you can definitely tell. You can paint many coats, but if you don't put the primer, you don't do the right step, then you're going to be in a lot of trouble. So what the Bible tells us to do is let's turn to 1 John 1:9. Remember, this is good news. Good news for every one of us. Great news. That we have a God that sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross and to shed his blood. And his blood is way more powerful than any primer. He's way more powerful than any restoration company. He can do what only he can do. He can take the deep, dark, red stain of sin in our lives and make it as white as snow. And I just thought, for me, it was a beautiful confirmation. How fitting that God gave me this word earlier this week. And on the morning that we're talking about it, right now, it is becoming white as snow right out these doors. And we get to see when you have a fresh snowfall and it covers any of the mud, the mess, the dirt, the grime, anything that could be out like out in the fields and the grass and everything, and it covers everything, and you just look out at it. It's just something about that is so beautiful. It is pure, it is white, there's nothing damaging. Now, of course, like when the kids go out and play, then they, you know, mess it all up, and then you see all the stuff in the grass and everything. But there is a picture in our minds and in our hearts that we can grab a hold of with that, okay? So 1 John 1:9 says this. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Anybody here believe the word of God? Amen? You guys believe what the word of God says, that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and he is just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, but there is a part in there, that again, that is our responsibility. It's our burden to bear. And that is simply that we need to come to God. And we need to confess our sins. Now, if we remember back to the story in Genesis, Adam, Eve, right? You know, the original sin. The first thing that they tried to do, because they felt shame for the first time, they felt guilt for the first time, they felt condemned, and they tried to hide from God. And many times, we might do the same thing. We got something going on. We may know. We feel the conviction. We may know, hey, we're not behaving right in that area. And we just try to kind of like hide it from God. Like we're going to be like my kids do and shove their clothes in their closet underneath their bed. And like, my room's clean. Okay, but we know it's not really that way. So we need to know that God already sees. That God already knows. When he comes, okay, he's going to be like, hey, where are you at? And so the thing that Adam and Eve did was they hid from God. Okay, but that's not what the Bible tells us to do. The Bible tells us if we come to God, we confess our sins, that he will forgive us. So if we've got an area we're struggling with or that we've messed up in, that we have good news, that we can go to God. We don't have to hide from him. Okay? I know as a parent, if my kids are struggling with something, I want them to come to me. Okay, now they're going to have to go through a little bit of process depending on what it is. Okay, they're going to get disciplined or instructed or corrected, but I want them to come to me. I don't want them to hide from me. God wants you to come to him as his children and not hide from him if you're struggling with something, if you're feeling failure or defeat, or if you have sin that you know you need to get cleaned up. God does not want you to hide it and stay away from him. God wants you to come to him. He's there with open arms. Okay? Like I know when my kids mess up and they tell me that they mess up and they come to me, the first thing I want to do is wrap my arms around them, tell them I love them, I forgive them. Now we're going to walk through a little bit of a process, but that's the beauty of it right there. Okay? So, God forgives. The blood is powerful enough to take care of it. Now, thinking about the red to white analysis, anybody ever get like a red stain in their carpet? I know when we were painting that red room, we had the first like major accident of remodeling. Remodeling and renovation sometimes can really put the marriage to the test. Okay, I like how everybody's laughing. Don't look at each other right now. Don't point any fingers right now. Don't shuttle jet, you know, no elbows. No. Okay, but I mean, you want to see where you're at in your marriage, just start a remodel project. Right, Alicia? Long old season going on. But Linda was she had a red cup of paint on the ladder. Okay? And y'all, like, we know where this is going. Okay, so she's trimming out and everything, and she goes to move that ladder, get down from it. Something happened. And that ladder got bumped. And all of a sudden, it's just like the whole, like, slow motion thing, like, whoom, like the cup comes up in the air. You see the paint start to come out, and boom! It lands right in the middle of the living room. Red paint everywhere, yeah. I'm glad you all can laugh now. Like, I was not feeling very much joy at the moment. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So we're getting up there, we're trying to clean this thing up. We tried to clean this thing up. And we tried everything we knew to do at the time. And that, of course, that red stain, that wasn't going nowhere. That stayed right there. So eventually we ripped that carpet up and went to the old hardwood that was underneath. But mainly was because we ruined that carpet with that big old red stain right in the middle. So, of course, then you had to get like an area rug, all this stuff. But years later down the road, I go into business with a carpet cleaner. And for 3.5 years, I cleaned carpets and everything. And I learned about removing red stains out of carpet. You know, only what I wish I would have known. Because usually if you use like any household like cleaners or whatnot, all that does is seal it in there. You know, your first action, hydrogen peroxide is very useful The fact that it's a penetrator, just like it goes into your cuts, it will go into your clothes if you got blood on them. It will go into red stains and carpet. If you got that, you should try that first. This is free advice. You get this for free, okay? But also, if that doesn't work, you're supposed to use, like, there's specific carpet cleaning chemicals, but you can also use, like, ammonia, okay? Put a little bit of that on there. Get a cloth out. Take an iron and heat the iron up to, like, low, medium. Put it down on there. Put the iron down on there. Put it there for about 30 seconds, and eventually you keep dabbing that up and putting that iron on there, and it helps bring that up out of there. Like, when it was a red stain, it was like cha-ching, cha-ching, because it was always an extra charge to get a red stain out, because it's like really difficult, and it takes extra time, it takes special chemicals, and you got to know what you're doing. But it's possible, but there were still so many red stains that have been there for so long, people seal them in, you couldn't get them out. But not our God. It doesn't matter how long a stain of sin has been on your heart. In a moment of time, the blood of Jesus will get that right up out of there, cleanse it perfectly clean, and make you white as snow. You don't ever have to worry about, like, this stain's never going to come out. No, it will. The blood of Jesus will do that for you. God's grace and his goodness is sufficient for you. His power is perfect for your weakness, and it will come up out of there. Okay, so we need to be encouraged, church, this morning. Okay, this is a simple gospel message. That God loves you. He says he sent his son to die for you. Know that no matter where you're at in your walk with him, whether you just started, whether you've been doing it for a long time, or you're anywhere in between on the spectrum, we always need to be reminded and be encouraged about God's love for us, his faithfulness towards us, and that his blood is powerful enough to wash away any stain of any sin, of any area of wrongdoing or shortcoming in our lives. Okay? Now it says this. Psalm 103. Let's turn to Psalm 103. And Psalm 103, verse 10. And it says this, Psalm 103, verse 10. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Church, that's great news. That even if today we walk out of here and we just totally blow something, totally mess something up, okay, which may or may not happen. Okay, we don't have to live in sin all the time. We actually shouldn't if we're truly saved, okay, and we're living for God. But sometimes those things happen. Isn't it great to know that God's not going to deal with us as our sins deserve? He's not going to just zap us right there when we commit a sin against him and forget them. That's it. They're done. I've had too many times where I've told them. Okay? No, it's not going to be like that. Okay? And so we can be encouraged with that. We can take that with us. We can put that in our heart. And farther from the east is from the west. Who in here is good with directions? Nobody? Okay, John's good with directions. Steve's good with directions. We got two people. I was waiting for, like, the husbands to be like, yeah, and these wives to be like, nope. Okay, I was waiting to, you know, to see, like, where the marriage counseling appointments were at and everything. But, okay, so the other day, Adam came to me. He's learning a compass, okay, north, south, east, and west, right? And so he's, like, kind of getting his directions mixed up, and I'm walking with him through the process of where their directions are at. You know, and it's just like this. You could just keep going east and keep going west. Okay, and for all space and time, okay, and you're never going to find the end, you're never going to find where they meet. Okay, that is how far God has removed your sins from you, to the point where you're not going to ever be able to find them again, no matter how hard you try. And you're never going to be able to remind God. I don't know what you're talking about, Holly. Amy, what are you even talking about? That doesn't even exist anymore. It's under the blood. It's been washed away. That sin, that stain, that's gone. Okay? So why do we allow the enemy to dig up bones, skeletons, dead things, and try to put them back in front of us like that they're real, like that they actually happened, when in God's eyes, it's under the blood. It's been forgiven. It's been taken away. Farther from the east is from the west. In Romans 8:1, it's a very powerful verse. Let's turn there real quick. You guys should underline this in your Bible. Try to memorize this. Put this in your heart. Because anytime the devil tries to come and accuse you, because he will. He's the father of all lies. He's the accuser of the brethren. But Romans 8:1 tells us the simple and powerful truth. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So if you're walking in the Spirit and you've repented and you've asked God for forgiveness, I know that there are situations and there are things that we may have done in the past that are going to continually be a part of our lives that we have to deal with. That's a real thing. But we don't have to be in condemnation. Okay? I'm sure if each one of you looks back at your past, you can think of a few things. They're like, man, that was really dumb, or that was really bad, or that, man, I really regret that. But you don't have to carry that with you with some heavy weight of guilt, condemnation, because God doesn't condemn you. God doesn't accuse you. God shed his blood through his son Jesus to wash away those sins and to remove that guilt and that condemnation so you can be free to pursue him and to go after him and to be what he has called you to be. So we need to be encouraged. We need to be reminded and stirred up in our hearts that you are free. You are not guilty. You are not condemned. It doesn't matter how much your wife tries to remind you, okay, or you try to remind your wife, we have to do those things for those around us as well. If we know that they've repented, we can't sit there and keep dangling in front of them. See, remember what you did? We need to act like our Father in heaven and not accuse and not, you know, remind people of guilt. But we need to encourage them and say, no, man, you're free. It's been washed away. It's under the blood. There are things that each one of us, somebody could probably bring back in front of us. But we don't want to be doing that to other people around us. So, guys, I want to give you one more verse. It's in Hebrews. Because this is what we need to do. Okay, this is who we need to be. And I'll tell you what, it's probably one of the more difficult things at times to do this. In Hebrews 4:16, it says this. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I'm going to read that one more time. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Okay. Anybody know anybody in here that's a really bold person? They'll just go up and they'll ask questions. They'll go up and just talk to anybody. Like, that's not necessarily me, but that's my dad. Okay, like, he could just walk into anywhere and be like, hey! Start asking questions, start saying. And you know what? I see that in my youngest son right now, Seth, who's 3. You know, and 3-year-olds, they just, you know, they're just figuring things out. And they're like, hey, he comes up, hey, you need to make me chicken nuggets. I'm like, what? Hey, you need to change my diaper. I'm like, no, I don't. He just comes up to me and tells me what I need to do. And like, hey, I want to play your tablet. Go get your tablet. It's downstairs. I'm like, who do you think you are? I mean, he's coming boldly. I don't know if it's to the throne of grace or not. But, you know, we see this sometimes in kids who, you know, and the Bible does tell us that we need to become like a child in our faith in this area. And would it be to God if we would come to God like that? Not necessarily in the demanding tone, but the boldness to come right up to God's throne. Hey, God, I'm here. I need to tell you something I did wrong. I need to repent. And then once I have done that, I know that you have washed that under the blood of Jesus, and I'm forgiven. All right, God, and now we can move on, and you can help me make things right if I need to make things right. And you can help me walk free from guilt and condemnation. Guys, and that's so important. And I'm sure that if we would take a moment or two and examine our hearts, there's still areas that maybe we don't think about it every day. But man, we feel that when we think about this situation or that situation. And God wants you to be free. He did not shed his blood for you to hold on to things. He did not wash you clean for you to keep something back that he has already said, this is farther from the east as from the west. So my challenge to each one of us today is to be free. To not carry around the weight of sin, okay? That if we need to repent, we can do that. And we just simply confess those things to God and then be sincere in our heart, and he is faithful and just to forgive us. Okay? He's not a man that he should lie. So what I would say to you this morning is to run, don't walk. Run up to God as fast as what you can. And I know that some of us may be in hurting and broken places, and we're wounded, maybe injured. So if you can't run, then walk. And if you can't walk, crawl, army crawl, do the worm, I don't know, whatever you got to do. Get yourself to the throne of grace. Come boldly, because I guarantee you, God is going to meet you exactly where you are at. He's not going to look down at you. He's not going to scoff at you. He's not going to be like, psh, man, how many times are we going to do this, Roger? I mean, come on. Until we get it right, amen. And that is exactly right. We're going to keep doing this as many times as what it takes. You know, there are times when my kids do something, and I'm like, you know, they're 17, they're 15, the oldest ones are, and it's like, I've told you that probably 150 times by now. How many times are we going to do this? And God will speak that exact same thing to me. How many times are you going to go through some of the same stuff you go through, right? We're going to do this as many times as what it takes, because there's enough love, there's enough grace, there's enough mercy, there's enough provision for God to continue to walk with you, and for you, if you will accept it, to continue to walk with God in the way that you should. Okay? So, church, before we get out of here today, I want us to take a few moments. Okay? And as we worship, and as we sing this song about the blood of Jesus, I want you to take a few moments with God. Let the Holy Spirit show you something or bring something to your attention, if need be, that needs to be dealt with, that you can start this new year free, healed, redeemed, renewed, and strengthened, and ready to run with purpose and with boldness, and to be at a place where you know that you are not condemned. Your sins are thrown farther from the east as from the west. Any wrongdoings, any shortcomings, any failures, okay? Those things have been taken care of. They are washed under the blood of Jesus. Everybody can stand to your feet, and let's just take a moment here and sing and seek God, and know that God will take anything that is crimson, that is scarlet, and he'll make it white as snow. God wants us to be free of guilt and condemnation, and he wants us to come boldly to the throne of grace. So let's do that right now in this moment.
Thank you.
Father, we're so thankful for the blood of Jesus. We're so thankful for your grace. God, for the promises in your word that we can hold on to, God. We're so thankful for that. Now, church, right now, I just really have it in my heart that if there's anybody that wants to come boldly to the throne right now and either come to ask Jesus into their heart for the very first time or make things right, and you want to come boldly to the throne of grace, this altar is open. So if there's anybody in here that needs prayer about something, that wants to rededicate or wants to make something right with God, then this altar is open. You can come down right now, and we'll continue to sing, continue to worship, and we'll pray with you. We're going to go through this one more time. Come before you in the name of Jesus. We're thankful for your blood. We're thankful for the word that we heard today. I pray that it would go with each one of these people today, here on live streaming, God, touch their hearts, encourage them with this great news that they can be excited about, that they can be rejuvenated with. God, to know that the blood of Jesus is still working. It's powerful. It removes every crimson scarlet stain. It takes away guilt and condemnation. And it brings freedom and restoration, God. And let us run with that this year as we run our race, God. Lord God, as we go forth, God, let us advance in your kingdom. Let us do the things you have called us to do. Rise up together as a church in unity, with purpose, with vision. And come boldly to the throne of grace and worship you and cry out to you and receive from you, God, all that you have for us, God. And we come boldly right now, and we ask these things in faith, God, and we thank you for them. God, and I thank you, God, that as we go, you keep us safe as we drive home in the snow, but let it be a reminder wherever we're at today, God, that you wash us white as snow with your blood, and we thank you for it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Oh, I guess we have a... Yeah, let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise. Don't leave just yet. We need everybody's faith to join together right now. We have a couple of prayer requests that was given on live stream. So let's take care of these real quick. Okay, let's pray. Father, we just lift up Judy Edwards to you, God. We pray, God, for her blood pressure to go down. Lord God, supernaturally touch her body, God, and decrease that blood pressure. Put it at a normal level, a normal rate, God. We just loose the healing power of God into her. We thank you for that, God. God, we lift up Selena Nixon, God. I pray, God, for Aunt Patty or Uncle Ralph. God, I pray that you would touch them, meet them where they're at. God, if they don't know you, that they would come to know you, God, and that their physical bodies would be touched. God, you know their needs. I pray that you would divinely intervene. Now, God, I lift up Rhonda Reisner, God. You can keep her husband in our prayers, God. He's having a lot of knee pain, Lord God. And I thank you that you will touch his knee, bring healing, bring restoration, God. Keep him from having to have surgery, God. Take away all that pain, God. And do, God, the work of the great physician and bring healing and a touch to that knee right now in Jesus' name, God. And we lift up Haley Smith, God. Just pray, God, she would get over, God, this horrible stomach But God, we just bind sickness, we bind disease over that house and out of Haley, and we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And we declare healing, God, right now into her body, God, that she would be free and renewed and restored to perfect health. And we thank you, God, that you would hear these prayer requests, you would honor faith, God, and you would do mighty and great things on each person's behalf. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, guys. We'll have service Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Be safe. God bless you, and we will see you then.